us. We love you. Please, Holy Spirit, move in a way that only you can in our midst. Touch hearts and change lives for your glory and for our great joy. We ask it in your name, Christ. Amen. And before our K through 5 kids roll out, we've got one of my favorite things to do as a pastor, and that's baby dedication. So if your kid is getting dedicated this morning, come on up. Come on up. If your last name is Keen, you can come on up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, Abraham. Come here, buddy. So we believe that we are a community of faith. And because God is our Father, we're adopted into His family, and we are also family together. And so one of the things that we get to do is dedicate our kids to the Lord. This in no means, just kind of by way of explanation, this in no means is salvific. We're not believing that God's saving our kids in this moment. We're dedicating our kids to the Lord, asking Him to save. And we as parents are saying that we are going to, by God's grace, raise our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, pointing them to Jesus. And then in just a moment, as a church, those who are covenanted in membership with us are going to also covenant together with us to see us fulfill these covenants and these commitments to love and lead our kids toward Jesus. So baby Judah's getting dedicated. So Pastor Alex is going to walk us through this, and then him and Pastor Stephen will pray over everybody this morning.
Awesome. Y'all hear me? Yeah, I can hear me. All right. Well, first of all, it's just a joy to be up here with you guys. And I would just, can we start at the end? If you guys can introduce yourselves and your family, and then we'll pass this mic down, okay? I'm going to go ahead and start on this side, actually, because I realize I've got the mic.
You want to do it, baby? You got it. All right. Yeah, my name is David, and this is my amazing family, my beautiful wife, Jordan, Lucy James, Gideon Battle, Abraham Brave, and Judah Beacon here. We are thrilled to be dedicating him today.
So this is Lucas Benjamin Carver, and our little girl Lily, and my wife Sarah, and I'm Josh.
All right, we're the Halsteads. I'm Kristen, this is Clint, Kate Lillian, Ella Rose, and Charlotte Isabel.
Charlotte,
and we also have Sophie, who's not here this morning, but she's 15.
Awesome. All right. So, first of all, it's just exciting to see you guys up here. It brings a lot of joy on Father's Day to watch these families come together and dedicate little babies. So here at Exodus, when we do a baby dedication, we want to ground everything in Scripture and the Bible and remembering what is important and why we guide our lives the way we do. And when we think about Moses' life and in Exodus, when they're on the brink of the Jordan, right after they had come from freedom, Moses tells their story to the entire group, to the people, and he retells their story, the story from obscurity to slavery to deliverance to freedom, and with a promised future in a promised homeland. And he, at the end of that, he charged the people to remember God, remember His glory, remember His character, His works, remember all of what He's done for them. Not just distantly through Moses, but individually through them. And he charged the people of Israel, remember God, lest they forget. And he told them to teach the word, to teach the law and the statutes to their children. He charged those families to remember it morning, day, and night. So in a similar way, we here have a charge to our parents at baby dedication. So I'm going to go through these things. I'm going to say them, if I can see you. You can say them, and then you guys are going to say, "We will," all right? If you don't say, "We will," you can hang back after class. All right. Parents, your children are precious in the sight of God, and it is they who will carry on the mission, the glory, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must hear and be taught the word of God, the glory and wonder of God, and the story of God, and the deliverance of his people from death to life. We also believe that the Spirit of God must change their hearts so that they can embrace God's word and rejoice in his goodness. So listen carefully. Parents, the Lord is our God. By his power and grace, will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Y'all say, we will.
We will.
All right. With his help and his promises, will you lead and teach by your example and your word so that your children might know the light of truth and walk in it with you?
We will.
Will you keep the words of God on your hearts?
We will.
Will you teach them diligently to your children and talk of them in the morning, day, and night?
We will.
Will you keep the word of God ever before you, holding it with respect and regarding the word of God as the very word of life? All right. Now, the other thing we like to do here is remember that these parents aren't alone. They're in community with the members here at Exodus. So for those of you that are covenant members here, we also have a charge for you. So I'm gonna say similarly, I'm going to say some things. I'm going to ask you guys that are members at Exodus to also say, we will. Y'all got that? All right. Exodus. He who promised is faithful. Will you hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering? Will you consider, ponder, and think deeply about how to stir up these parents to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord and his word? All right. Exodus, will you continue meeting together and encourage these parents to continue in regularly meeting together, and all the more as you see the end drawing near? All right, guys, let's grab a minute to pray. Because we are a church that values community, we want these families to be surrounded by community. So if you love these families, if you're in community group with them, or you just want to come up and love on them, we're going to try and spread out a little bit, just to give you guys a little bit of space. If you guys want to come up here, you can lay hands, and we'll take a few minutes to pray, and then Pastor Stephen is going to close us out in prayer.
Father, we approach you this morning on behalf of these babies. We call out to you as a body, as a family, united with the joyful task of raising them in nurture and admonition of you. God, we come to you knowing that you are the one that will supply everything we need. God, we pray for the mothers and fathers that they would come to you for guidance, that they would seek your face, and from you they would love and care for the children. They would approach you first, love you first, be loved by you first, and then pour that love out on their children. God, this is an overwhelming task, but we know that you are strong and you love to love us, and you love to help us. So God, be with these families, be with these parents, be with these siblings. Give them what they do not have. Give them energy and power. Give them grace. Give them humility. Father, we pray for the body here. We pray for the the brothers and sisters, the family surrounding them, that you would encourage us and guide us to be the loving, extended family that you have called the church to be, that we spur each other on, that we encourage the fathers, we encourage the mothers, we encourage the babies. God, make us into what would be best for these children. We know that you've loved us by giving us each other. You did not leave us alone in this. So by your Spirit, empower the community groups, empower the families around. Help us to take ownership, not in our abilities, but in your power to guide us, to be obedient to what you have for us. God, we know that the future is bright for these children because you have, in your good pleasure, given them the loving family and the loving extended family that you have. Bless us. Love on us and care for us. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, the name by which they will have access to you, our Father, the only name under heaven by which they have access. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As they return to their seats, we're going to take a few minutes. Stand up, stretch, meet somebody new, shake a hand or two, and then we'll return.
You are good. Hey, hey, hey. If you can hear my voice, go ahead and grab a seat. Grab a seat. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to be in verses 97 through 104 today in Psalm 119. Before I read God's word, I just want to mention a couple of things. Man, I love baby dedication. My kids are crazy. Wherever they're at, I love them. Crazy kids. A couple of things. If you're new in here, we're really glad that you would join us. Thanks for being here. It's really good to see all your faces. I love seeing all your faces. Lifeway Research would tell us that Father's Day is the least attended holiday for churches that gather on Sundays, and I think that's kind of a sad reality, but man, it is really good to see y'all, and glad especially to see daddies leading their crew into the house of the Lord today that we meet in. That's a gym and has horrible acoustics, but it's great to see y'all. And so, daddies, happy Father's Day. We're really, really grateful for you. And just on the front end, I promise it's not going to be like a beat you up sermon, do better with your life, daddies. I'm not going to try to crush you. Hopefully you will leave encouraged. I do have three prayers for you this morning, but hopefully you'll leave encouraged today. But I just want to let you know I'm grateful for you. I see you, those especially that call Exodus Church home. I see you. I'm grateful for you. You're an encouragement to me and to my family, and I'm a better man because of each of you. I want to mention also the card. When you came in, there should have been a card in your seat back pocket. If you want to grab that card at some point, particularly if you're new, if it's your first time or your 50th time, we just want you to have that card as a way to communicate with us. And so if you're new, we'd love to have record that you are here and to follow up with you in a respectful way. So your name and email is more than sufficient for us to follow up with you. You can drop it in one of the give boxes or give it to someone at the welcome table on your way out. Or if it's your 50th time, you can use that card to, again, communicate with us in ways that you might have questions about the church or maybe about the sermon or ways you're trying to get plugged in. Just use that card as one other opportunity to communicate with us. So before I jump in, I just want to reiterate again. I know today can be really great, and it can be really sad for some folks. My prayer this morning is that God would meet us, all of us, where we're at, whether we're kind of celebrating or whether we are maybe not celebrating. Maybe today's a really hard day for you. If you're if you've been hurt by your dad, or maybe your dad is no longer with us. But either way, my prayer is that God the Father would show himself great and glorious to us this morning. Because here's the thing, right? The best dads on planet Earth are only a hint or a whisper of the glorious Father we have in heaven, right? And the worst dads actually point us to our great need for an even better, perfect Father, right? And so no matter what, all of our dads are intended to point us to God the Father. And that's my prayer this morning as we celebrate Father's Day today and, you know, kind of do what Hallmark tells us to do. We will hopefully be loved on by our Heavenly Father. So, Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. I'll read the text and then pray. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is God's word. Let's pray together. God, we are really grateful for your word. Thank you for the truth that you have and your amazing grace revealed to us through it. Thank you ultimately that you revealed to us your son Christ, who we know lived a perfect life, died a brutal death, and then rose again for us, so that we might have access to you, Christ Jesus, and receive you to be our perfect, amazing, good Father. And so this morning, as we come to your word, I pray that you would help us come humbly. Holy Spirit, would you do your work and your way in our hearts? Would you bring comfort? Would you bring conviction? Would you do what only you can? God, if anyone in here does not know you, who is not been saved by you, would you please grant salvation today? And for those of us in here who are walking with you, would you grow us more and more into your image and into your likeness because of your word empowered by your spirit in our hearts will transform us. We love you. We need you. I am desperate for you now. Please use me to speak your truth to your people. I ask it in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. So this is Again, week five in our series in Psalm 119, week five of a three-part series. We started last summer. This is part two, and then part three will be next year. And so we're working our way through Psalm 119, taking one stanza at a time, which each stanza, if you know much about this psalm, each stanza stands for, represents kind of one letter in the Greek alphabet, okay? I'm sorry, the Hebrew alphabet. When I say Greek, what I mean is Hebrew. It stands for the Hebrew alphabet. And so each letter represents, or each stanza represents one letter from the Hebrew alphabet, and then each verse within each of those stanzas begins with that Hebrew letter, okay? So if you think of our alphabet, if ABCs, right? If stanza three was C, every word in that, every beginning word in that stanza would begin with C. And part of what the psalmist is trying to do here for us, and by the power of the Spirit, is show us the beauty and the majesty and the magnificence and the depth of God's word. And how ultimately this word points us to Jesus, who is the word, who ultimately is the only way we have salvation, forgiveness, hope, joy in this life and the next. And so we are grateful for this word. And so we are praying two major things as we walk through this series, just by way of reminder, two major hopes or prayers that we have. And the first is that we would see through God's word the beauty of who God is and what He's done, and that we would grow in our delight for God's Word, that we would be people who delightfully desire God's Word. We wouldn't disdain it, we wouldn't disregard it, we wouldn't dutifully just obey it, but that we would be a people who find great, great delight in who God is through His Word, and who He's showing us who He is through His Word. So we would be a people who love it, who delight in it, who, like the psalmist just read or wrote, we just read that the psalmist wrote, that we see it and it's sweeter to us than the sweetest honey, that we would be a people who delightfully desire God's Word. And then secondly, that this song would lead us to praise God with all of our lives and all of our lips, that we would be a people who with our actions and with our words live lives that praise God for who He is and what He's done. And so we know that Psalm 150, the last song in the Psalter, leads us to this. It's kind of the culmination of all the psalms, whether they're hymns or laments or wisdom songs like Psalm 119. No matter what kind of category they fall into, all of the psalms are on this trajectory leading us toward hearts and lives of praise toward God. And so we'll read Psalm 150 again, because that's where we want our hearts to be led to. Psalm 150 tells us, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And so we want our lives and our lips and the whole of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ to be praising God for all He's done. And so that's our hope. That's our prayer. That's our desire. And every week we're kind of breaking up this psalm into different this one saying, and we're replacing a couple words to try and illustrate again the beauty and the majesty of God's word. And the big idea this morning is this: as we come to this stanza, what we see is that God's word is given for our understanding. It's given for our understanding, or you could maybe write wisdom there. God's word is given for our understanding, our wisdom. Enjoyment, church, enjoyment. Not dutiful drag. Not I have to do this. Not if I don't do this, then God's going to be angry with me. But enjoyment, as we'll see in just a moment, is found in our dependent obedience on Him. So God's word is given for our understanding, that we would understand, that we would be wise, that we would know how to walk, how to live, how to honor God with our lives, that we would ultimately understand that Jesus is the only way that we have access to our good Father, and that we would place our hope and trust in Him. And then as we do that, and as we seek to walk out lives that praise Him and honor Him, we would find great enjoyment in walking dependently and obediently on Him. And so this morning, again, it is Father's Day, and I promised I was not here to beat upon anybody, because the Lord knows that I am a mess when it comes to being a daddy and have so much to learn. And so I'm not up here going, hey, you guys, be awesome like me. I'm going with you. Hey, we are all dependent on Jesus together if we are to be the kind of dads that Jesus would have us be. And so I have three prayers from this song for all of us dads. And if you're not a dad in here, please do not check out on me. This is for daddies, for mommies, for single people, for grandparents, aunts, uncles, college kids, young kids. It doesn't matter who you are. This prayer is for you. But particularly dads, I'm praying these three things today for us. The first is this, is that we would be dads who love the Word. We be dads who love the Word. Look again at the text with me. The psalmist begins in verse 97. He says, oh, how I love your law. And then he follows it up with, it is my meditation all the day. So he loves it so much. He's not annoyed with it. He's not just taking it in small doses. Or it's not like, you know, hanging out with family over Thanksgiving where you're like, yeah, I love you a whole lot. But like after 2 days, you need to be outside of my house or I'm going to form tackle you. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not that kind of love. It's a legitimate, deep, sincere, I love your word. So much so that I meditated on it all day long. I don't grow weary of it. I can't get enough of it. It is deeper to me than any ocean that I could swim in. It is full and rich, and I love it. We'll talk about why he loves it in a moment, but I pray that we would be men and women and people of God who love the Word of God, who love the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon, I'm going to him early this morning. The prince, not like prince, but the prince of preachers, all right? Charles Haddon Spurgeon says this, we not only reverence but love the law. We obey it out of love. And even when it chides us for disobedience, we love it nonetheless. The law is God's law, and therefore it is our love. We love it for its holiness and pine to be holy. We love it for its wisdom and study to be wise. We love it for its perfection and long to be perfect. Listen to this here, church. Those who know the power of the gospel perceive an infinite loveliness in the law as they see it fulfilled and embodied in Christ Jesus. And here, church, is why we love God's word. This is why we want to be a people who love God's word. Because ultimately what the psalmist realized through the word of God, even before the New Testament was into play, was he realized that through the law of God and through the word of God, there was provision made for his sin and his shortcomings. That he didn't have to add up that through the law that God provided a way out even through the Old Testament writer here. And he realized that through God's law and through his word that he would have provision for his mess, that he would have hopefulness and forgiveness and joy and meaning in life as he looked to the word of God for his hope. And those of us on this side of the cross, we know from John 1 and really all the New Testament that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, we know the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? So we know that Jesus is the Word, the eternal Word of God, and that he, in the flesh, embodied the Word of God, and that what he did, when he says in Matthew, I believe it's 5:17, he didn't seek to come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And what we know about Jesus is that he fulfilled every piece of God's law and God's word. And so you and I now, instead of standing condemned under the law, because Christ fulfilled the law perfectly in every way, because Christ was our perfect substitute, because Christ died the death we should have died, because Christ was buried in the grave we should have buried in. We should have been buried in. Because of this, when we trust in him, when we hope in him, when we look to him, when we give him our life, when we give him our mess in exchange for his majesty. We receive in Christ all the blessings of the fulfilling the law. And so we come to love God's word. We come to love his law. We come to love his word ultimately, church, because it points us to Jesus. Because it shows us who Christ is. Because it shows us his perfection and his beauty and his majesty. And it shows us what he is like and what he's about and how he's provided forgiveness for our sins and hope for our souls and eternal life for our weary, weary souls. And so we love God's word because God's word shows us ultimately who the hero of the story is. It shows us ultimately that you and I don't add up, but that Jesus does. And that Jesus died again in our place for our sin. And then we know that ultimately God's word tells us that Jesus didn't stay dead. He got up out of the grave 3 days later. And that Jesus, because of his victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave, now invites all, any and all who would trust in him, who would hope in him, to place their trust in him and ultimately love him. See, following God's way of life is not about a dutiful drag. God is not the fun police. What God wants for you in your life is for you to find the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest fulfillment in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this word right here shows us, points us to who Jesus is and what he's done. This is why we can, with the psalmist, say, "Oh, how I love your law." He's saying that coming off of verse 96 from last week. If you remember, he said, "I've seen a limit to all perfection." Remember I talked about Kawhi Leonard, the best two-way player in basketball, who now is a champion, brought it home to the wonderful nation of Canada. You know what I'm saying? The National Basketball Association now has a champion in another country. All right? But here's the thing. Kawhi Leonard's the best two-way player in basketball. But there's limitations to his game, right? He can't, I don't think he can play soccer. I'm pretty confident he can't hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. No matter how good he is at one thing, there's a limitation to his perfection. Likewise, you and I have limitations to being all we can be and being the best we can be and being the best version of ourselves. Ultimately, we know that we are a mess and we fall short. There's a limitation to perfection on earth, but God's word is broad. It is perfect. It is eternal. There's no limitations to it. And so you and I look to Jesus, the only one who is not limited in his perfection, and we hope in him, which causes the psalmist then to come off of that and say, "Oh, how I love your law." When you and I realize the amazing grace which has been bestowed upon us through the person and work of Jesus, we will, like the psalmist, declare. This is a statement of declaration. Notice the exclamation point at the end of the first phrase. "Oh, how I love your law." He's lost for words, and all he can do is declare his love for God's word, because through his word he's realized who God is and what he does for him. My prayer is that we will be a people who love God's word. Daddies, we would love God's word more than we do ESPN, our hobbies, our work, our accomplishments, or our families. We would be men who love this book, because in this book we have found a love for our Savior that trumps anything else in our lives. Ray Ortlund, one of the pastors that I respect most in this life, I've only had like two conversations with him in my whole life, but he probably doesn't even know my name. However, I look up to this man tremendously. He says, and Ray Ortlund, if you know much about Ray Ortlund, I'm talking about Junior here, because Ray Ortlund Jr. talks about his dad in a way that makes me want to be that kind of daddy. Ray Ortland wrote an article in Desiring God, I think it's a couple years old now, maybe 2 or 3 years old. It's called 10 Unforgettable Lessons on Fatherhood, and in it he writes about his dad. Here's what he says. This is Ray Ortland Jr. talking about his dad, Ray Ortland Sr. In public, my dad was one of the greatest pastors of his generation. He served most notably for 20 fruitful years at Lake Avenue Congregational Church in Pasadena, California, where John and Noel Piper were worshipped during their Fuller Seminary days. Dad and John were dear friends. In private, Ray Jr. says, my dad got a pasty thrown at his feet while he was preaching. You want this, baby dumpling? All right. Judas starts crying. Somebody hook her up with that pasty. In private, he says, my dad was the same man. So his public ministry, same man in private. There was only one Ray Ortland Sr., an authentic Christian man. The distance, listen to what he says, the distance between what I saw in the New Testament and what I saw in my dad was slight. He was the most Christ-like man I've ever known. The kind of man, the kind of father I long to be. I don't care if you're a pastor, what God has called you to do with your work, how you live. And this is true for dads, certainly. It's true for everyone else, too. That we would be these type of people who are the same in public and in private, and who, if whether we're parents or not, who, when people look at us, can say these type of things about us, who know us publicly and privately. But for daddies, that we would be men who love God's word. Here's one of the 10 lessons he writes about his father. He was a Bible man, Junior says of his father, Ray Sr. He says this, my dad was wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus. On my 17th birthday, he and my mom gave me a new Bible. In the front, he wrote the following, Bud, nothing could be greater than to have a son. A son who loves the Lord and walks with him. Your mother and I have found this book our dearest treasure. We give it to you, and doing so can give nothing greater. Be a student of the Bible, and your life will be full of blessing. We love you, Dad. And then Ray Jr. writes, when I read that, I knew my dad meant every word of it. He was a Bible man. And the blessing he wrote about was obvious in his own life. My prayer is that we would be men, daddies, who love the word, who love it, who cherish it, who pass it on to generation after generation after generation, this insatiable and infectious love for God's word. That we would be men and women and every mommies and daddies and grandparents and single folks who love God's word and pass this love on to others. And then we see here secondly, or my second prayer is not only would we love the word, but secondly, that we would learn the word. We would learn it. We would love it and we would learn it. He says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. And then in verses 98 through 100, we see him learning the word and how he's learned it. He says in verse 98, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And then verse 100, I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. And then down in verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He is learning the word. My prayer is that we would be men, daddies who love God's word, and then that love would lead us to learning, right? So there's this kind of linear approach to this. When we fall in love with who God is and what he's done because of what he's done for us, and so we love the word of God, and then it leads us to want to learn more of the word of God. And the psalmist here does just that. How do we do this? How do we learn the word? Why do we do this? We do this because we love God. It leads to action, right? Loving leads to action. Actions speak louder than words. Words speak, but they don't always speak louder than our actions. It's like me loving my wife or my kids, right? I love them, and that love is going to lead me to learn them, to know who they are, to know what they're about. I tell guys this in premarital counseling all the time, like, you are now, like, congratulations, you found, the chase is over, you found your one and only, and from this day forward, you are to be a student of this woman the rest of your life. You are to learn her, to study her, to know what she likes, what she doesn't like, where she likes to eat, where she doesn't like to eat. I'm still learning, baby, if you can hear me. But you are to learn her. Why? Because you love her. So you learn her. Similar to how I love my kids. One thing to say, I love you, buddy. I love you, sweet girl. It's another thing for me to, as a daddy, get to know them and learn them and see how they're wired and what they like and what they want to do and things they enjoy and things they don't enjoy. My prayer is that as daddies and everyone else in this room, we would be people who learn the word of God. How do we do this? We pursue it. It's clear that he's pursuing it. He's meditating it on all the days. His commandments making him wise because it's ever with him. He's pursuing it. He's having, and then he's practicing it. He's living it out. We'll talk more about this in a minute. Here's the beauty of God's word from this text right here is that it gives us more understanding and wisdom than he points out three types of things in these three verses. First, his enemies. It gives you more understanding and more wisdom than your enemies. As you learn the word, you have more understanding, more wisdom than your enemies. Now, we don't know who exactly the enemies are that are coming against, whether it was David or some other writer here, but we know that he had some probably physical and then certainly spiritual enemies. You and I similarly will have potentially physical enemies, and we certainly have, as we seek to walk with Jesus in this life, spiritual enemies that will come against. And the word here gives us more understanding and wisdom than our enemies. Secondly, it gives us more understanding and wisdom than even our teachers. Than our teachers. That's what he says in verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, kids, I don't know that I'd, you know, open class day one next fall with, hey, I just want to let you know I have more wisdom than you because I read my Bible today. All right, probably wouldn't go that route. But there are certainly things that people who teach us would say that are not wise and true if they are not in accordance with this word. The people who teach us, who have even authority over us, if they are not coming alongside of the word of God, then God's word is wiser than they are. And as we study it, we have more wisdom than our teachers. And then next, we have more wisdom than our elders even. And I want to be careful here, but what I want to say is that age alone does not make you wise. That's the prim. Age alone does not make you wise. Age can certainly, under submission to God and his word, age will make you wiser. But age does not alone make you wiser. And that's part of what the psalmist says in verse 100. I have more understanding than the aged. I remember sitting in Sunday school class back in the day. We still had Sunday school in my church. I'm actually not against Sunday school, whatever you like. Maybe we'll have Sunday school one day. You never know if we don't meet in a gym. But I was not wiser than my teacher at the time, but I was real puffed up. And I essentially, he was trying to argue with me that old people were wiser just because they were older. And I was like, no, man, that's not true. And I think I even pointed out this verse because I was not a nice young man at the time. But I think I was right. It was just wrong in my approach. What I was trying to articulate to him is that age alone doesn't make you wise, in part because I had seen some older folks in that congregation act like they were three. But nonetheless, God's word What we see here is that God's word makes us wise beyond our enemies, beyond our teachers, beyond our elders. We go back to the prince for a second time. He says, familiarity with the word of God breeds affection, and affection seeks yet greater familiarity. So there's a cyclical effect, right? He says, disciples of Christ who sit at his feet are often better skilled in divine things than doctors of divinity. So to be really clear here, it's not about learning for the sake of learning. It's about learning for the sake of knowing God more and obeying him more and loving him more. There's plenty of folks who have got plenty of degrees that when it comes right down to it, aren't walking in the wisdom of God and his word. It's not wrong to get more degrees and more education. That's certainly not wrong. But the aim is not just knowledge. The aim is to know and love our God more. I pray that we would be a people who learn the word. And then lastly, I pray we would be a people and men and daddies who live the word. Who live the word. We'd love it, we'd learn it, and then lastly, we would live it. We would live it. Look in verses 101 with me. He says, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules in verse 102, for you have taught me. So he's learned it, he's understanding, and he's holding his feet back from temptation. He's not turning aside from the rules. In verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. He reminds us and himself again how sweet God's word is, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I pray that we would be daddies who live the word, not just love it, not just learn it, but live it. And loving leads to learning, which ultimately leads to living. If we're learning for the sake of learning and we're not living it out, we're not acting it out, then we're not really learning it. So I pray we'd be men and women and children who live the word of God, who obediently seek to follow Jesus because of all he's done in our lives. So we see a couple of things of how this looks in this passage. First, obedience to God's way. In verse 100, he says, I understand more than the age, for I keep your precepts. I keep your precepts. So I understand, and I'm seeking to keep you. I'm seeking to walk obediently to what you call me to do. Secondly, self-control. Living the word looks like obedience. It looks like self-control. In verse 101 and 102, I hold my feet back from every evil way. I do not turn aside from your rules. He has control enough, empowered by the Spirit, to not walk in ways that are opposed to God's word. Next, we see enjoyment of God's way. Living the word looks like enjoying the word, enjoying the way of God. That's where he talks in 103 about how sweet God's word is to his taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I've talked about this since we started this series, but the idea is not that we would dutifully follow God's word as it's some kind of drag or killjoy, but that we would delightfully, delightfully run hard after God through his word, that we would enjoy it. The idea here in 103 is that honey's the sweetest thing on the planet. It's the sweetest, nicest thing on the planet to eat. And he's saying that God's word is more enjoyable, more sweeter than that. So again, as you know me, better than the best cheesecake in the world is God's word more enjoyable. It's more enjoyable. Like when you bite into that best bite of whatever you love, you bite into it. I think maybe, perhaps, there might be a key lime pie waiting on me today. I love key lime pie and cheesecake. And really just most anything sweet is amazing. Once again, dad bod, you know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. I anticipate the taste of the key lime pie. I know it's going to be amazing. Amen, Judah. I know it's going to be amazing. And it's enjoyable to to the taste. It's enjoyable. And 103 here is pointing us to the enjoyableness of a life submitted to the ways of God through His Word. That it's intended to be joy-filled. Though it may be difficult at times, though it may seem hard at times, that with it comes great joy, great pleasure in following God. And then lastly, living the Word looks like hatred for sin, hatred for every false way. I'll go back to Spurgeon one last time. Because he had understanding, talking about the hatred of every false way, because the psalmist had understanding and because of the divine precepts, he detested sin and falsehood. Every sin is a falsehood. It's a lie. We commit sin because we believe a lie. And in the end, the flattering evil turns a liar to us and we find ourselves betrayed. True hearts are not indifferent about falsehood. They grow warm in indignation. As they love the truth, so they hate the lie. Saints have a universal horror of all that is untrue. They tolerate no falsehood or folly. They set their faces against all error of doctrine or wickedness of life. It is well to be a good hater. And what is that? A hater of no living being, but a hater of every false way. The way of self-will, of self-righteousness, of self-seeking, of worldliness, of pride, of unbelief, of hypocrisy, of lustfulness. These are all false ways. And therefore not only to be shunned, but to be abhorred. To live the Word of God looks like obedience to God and His Word. It looks like Holy Spirit-empowered self-control, as we know. It's fruit of the Spirit. It looks like enjoying God's way as we walk in it. And it looks like a real hatred of sin. Oh, that we would be daddies who hate sin, who hate it, and lead our families as far away from it as we can. That we would be men and women who hate every false way. We live the Word. This is my prayer, that we would love God's Word, that we would learn God's Word, and that we would live God's Word. Now, I told you I wasn't going to beat you up, and hopefully you don't feel beat up at this point. I hope you feel spurred on, perhaps challenged. The truth of all of this is that we will not love, learn, or live if it's not for Christ. We cannot do this apart from Jesus. And so my question for us this morning is this. How has Christ shown His love to you through His Word? How has Christ shown His love to you through His Word? Like a righteous man pursuing after a young lady's heart, He woos her and wins her and shows her His love. He demonstrates it over and over again until ultimately, hopefully, He wins her affection and her heart similarly, but in a much more amazing way. While we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. This is how He demonstrates His love toward us in Romans 5:8. Christ has shown His love to us in that when we did not love His Word, when we do not seek to learn His Word, when we do not seek to live out His Word, He continues to love us, to pursue us, to run hard after us, to chase us down. When we are not hating sin, but we're flirting with it, or maybe even running headlong into it, or justifying believing lies and walking in them, the love of Christ compels us to come home, to return back, to trust in Him, to repent of seeking your own way yet again and trust in your gracious God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So mommies, daddies, single folks, grandparents, aunts, uncles, kids, everywhere you have not loved God's word and God's ways, everywhere you have not learned it, everywhere you have not lived it, the beauty of this all is that Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment of Psalm 119. That only Jesus Christ can say with perfection, I hold back my feet from every evil way. I do not turn aside from your rules. Therefore, I hate every false way. Only Jesus can say that perfectly. And so my hope, my prayer this morning is that you and I would, as men and women and every boy and child, that we would remember the love that has been shown to us through Christ Jesus, and that that love would draw us in and compel us to be people who love this book, who learn this book, and who live it out. That we would be daddies like Ray Sr., who showed Ray Jr. that a public life and a private life should be the same. And that there's hope for us to be people who walk like this because of Jesus. Because we're empowered by the Spirit, we can now be men and women who love God's word, who seek after it, who remember it, who meditate on it, who delight in it, who see it as sweeter than the best key lime pie, who enjoy it more than the steak I'm about to grub out on. That we would be people who love God's word, because in it we find our God and Savior. And so my question is, how has Christ shown his love to you through his word? And then I would follow it up with, how does that love compel you to action, to obedience, to more love toward his word, to more learning, to more humility, to more living it out this week in better ways? Daddy's like, maybe it looks like repenting to your wife and your kids. I'm sorry, I'm such a mess. Angry, I'm frustrated, I'm a mess. Would you forgive me? I want to walk more in line with the words of God in our family, in our home. I don't know what it looks like for you, but how has Christ shown you his love? And how is that love compelling you toward greater obedience and trust in him with your life? My prayer for everyone in here is that we would love the word, we would learn the word, and we would live the word. And we would do all of those things in response to God's great love for us that he's shown us through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we are today, like every day, a very, very desperate people. And I ask, God, that you would do what only you can do in these moments. You would show us. You would show us how much you have loved us. How you continue to pursue and woo our hearts. For daddies in here and everyone else in here who know that they have blown it, would you lavish them with your grace in such a way that it leads to repentance and a changed heart and a changed mind and a changed life? God, God, for those of us who are just seeking to honor you, would you encourage us in your love and in your mercy to continue to fight, to walk obediently according to your will and your way. Because in that obedience, we find greatest joy and delight in you. Give us grace as a people to be mommies and daddies and grandparents and aunts and uncles and kids and teenagers and single folks who love you, who love your word, who seek to know it and learn it so that we might live it out every day. May we be a people who find our greatest enjoyment in you and in walking with you, and who love you so much that we hate every false way. God, help us. And then lastly, I pray, Lord, that you would make us a people who bring others on along with us in this walk, that we would be broken and hurting for those outside the faith who do not know you yet. Make us a people who obey and lead others with our lives of worship toward you. We ask it all in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to give us all an opportunity to respond to the Lord in a few specific ways. And so if you've been here before, we do a similar type thing every week. Maybe it's your first time. And what we want to do here is we want to respond to God's word corporately in a few specific ways. And so first, in just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing songs that are true about our great God and Father and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to sing songs. We're going to celebrate together. Secondly, when you're ready, if you have kids over there, I would encourage you to go grab your kids and bring them back in here. Go grab them. Bring them back. And just kind of side note, daddies and mommies and everybody, like, our kids learn so much by watching. And so when they watch us sing and praise, driving Gideon back and forth to nature class this week out at the Lotta Plantation, and he, every time in the car, he wants to sing a couple praise and worship songs that we just shout out together in the car. Shout it out! Because he learns by watching. And so go grab your kids, bring them in here so we can sing, worship God together. And then next, when you're ready, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have trusted him with your life, submitted your entirety to him, I would encourage you to take communion. There's a table up front and a table in the back. Take the bread, dip it in the cup. Remember Jesus' body that was broken and his blood that was shed so that you and I might have life. Remember that this is a clear, tangible demonstration of God's love for you and I. Remember that this morning as you take communion. And then I'll be standing in the back. I'd love to talk with anyone about what it looks like to follow Jesus. If you need prayer for today, encouragement, I'm here. Pastor Alex, Pastor Steven, your community group leaders, some of them are in here. Go talk with them if you have business you need to deal with the Lord with. And then lastly, if you're in here and you want to give during this time, we would encourage you to do so cheerfully, faithfully, and sacrificially. Not a dutiful drag, but as a worshipful response to all that God has given. You, we want to, as a people, give to God in that way as a worshipful response to him. And so you can do that now during this time as obedient to God. Let's continue to worship Jesus now. I love getting to be one of your pastors.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for
I would clasp thy hand in mine.
Nor ever murmur, nor repine.
Content whatever lot I see.
Still by his hand that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, win by thy grace the victory's won. Even death's cold wave, I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be. For by his hand, he leadeth me.
Searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Say, you're a good, good father.
It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are,
and I'm loved by you. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways to us.
Verse 3.
Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, you're a good, good father.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
And I'm loved by. You're a good, good father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Come on, lift it up. You're perfect.
'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us,
you're perfect in all of your ways.
You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You're a good, good Father. It's who I am. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And we're loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Let's declare it.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Let it ring, say it.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Come on, one more time, say it.
I'm no longer. I'm a child of God.
Come on, let's work.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name.
I've been born again.
I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Lift it up, say,
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage.
Woo!
We're the sons and the daughter. Let us sing our freedom.
Walk right through it.
Woo!
My fears were drowned in perfect love.
You rescued me.
You rescued me so I could stand and sing.
I am
a child of God.
Hey, you split the sea.
You split the sea.
sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love.
You rescued me.
You rescued me so I can stand and say I am a child of God.
Hey, you split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love.
You rescued me.
You rescued me so I can stand and say
I am
a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Amen, 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 amen. Hey, y'all, you can be seated for just 1 minute. We got a couple quick announcements. First, thanks, worship team. It's awesome. Thank you all for leading us to Jesus. Yeah. Secondly, if you are not connected in a community group, I want to encourage you guys to get plugged in there, okay? If you're visiting Exodus, checking us out, we are super glad that you're here. We are thrilled that you would join us on Sundays. We want you to keep going back on Sundays, but if you're seriously considering plugging in with this body and being a part of what God is doing here, we would say to you, grab someone at the welcome table and get connected in one of our community groups. If you didn't know this, our trailer got stolen a couple weeks ago, and so we still haven't replenished all of our copies and supplies and handouts and things like that. So forgive us if we're not completely put together. It's particularly the info on welcome tables, because lots of that stuff got taken or messed up and all that. So just thanks for being patient with us, particularly if you're new, just FYI, but someone can get you what you need, either electronically or whatever else, to get plugged into one of our community groups. Would encourage you to do that. Secondly, I want to encourage all of you guys, if you're not connected on Realm, that's our kind of online platform to communicate, but on Realm, there's details about our party next Sunday evening or afternoon. Next Sunday, we're having a summer kickoff welcome party for the Wagners. Everybody say, welcome, Wagners. All right, so next Sunday night, afternoon from 4 to 7 p.m. at Clark's Creek Community Park. All right, bring them out. You guys come on out. We're going to have some hamburgers, some hot dogs. There's a cool park there to play on. I was going to say cross your fingers, but just pray to the Lord that the splash pad is fixed by then and kids can get their splash on, and also pray for good weather. But we'll be out there next Sunday night from 4 to 7. There's details about that on the Realm. Please sign up there so I know how much protein to buy. All right? Everybody say, David's got to buy protein. So I need to RSVP. You are ridiculous. All right. And then lastly, dads, we love you. If there's not, if all the kids have not eaten the donuts, there's some donuts on the way out. Grab them, and then everybody else, grub out on them so I don't have to take them home. All right? Love you guys. It's a joy to get to be one of your pastors. Let's continue to worship Jesus and honor him as we go out today. See y'all. You can ask mommy. You can go ask mommy.
You rescued me so I can stand and see I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love.
Stop.
You rescued me so I could stand and see I am a child. God, you split the sea so I can walk.
My hat, man.
You're right here. You're right here so you can block Daddy's private.
Chup.
Darling.
Trey. Hey, thanks, Ryan.